Happy Friday, Nashville. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, joined by Max Herz from Preds Radio in studio. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Parker Kelly at the controls behind the glass. Fun show today. We've got Max for the full first hour talking Preds after the Preds got a season-opening win last night, 2-1 over the Columbus Blue Jackets. Connor Newt will join us coming up at 10 o'clock, and we'll talk some football for the rest of the show. Max, fun one last night. Excited to have you in. Recap everything that happened in a 2-1 victory for the Preds in Game 1.
Yeah, you're undefeated, Nashville Predators.
Yes.
1-0 feels a little different than 0-5 last year.
For sure.
That's for sure. And I'm putting out a public plea. If you are any of the people that I told that the Preds would win 2-1 as my prediction, please let me know, because I definitely told that to some people and I can't remember who I told, and I haven't been able to find anybody yet, but I called it 2-1 win.
Somebody call in and back up Max's story, because I'm not sure I believe him at this point. But
I don't think I believe myself, honestly, but I did say that I don't make predictions very often and they're usually wrong. But I got one.
You did. And, you know, it was a good game for the Preds, kind of a sloppy game back and forth, but they were able to pull it out. Late goal from Ryan O'Reilly in the third period on the power play ended up being the difference. And as Robbie Stanley tweeted last night, you can't go 82-0 without going 1-0. And the Preds took game one. And you're right. We mentioned it when you were on the show last week. That 0-5 start put this team in a hole that, yeah, they didn't play great the rest of the year, but it just felt like they couldn't dig themselves out of that 0-5 start. It's got to feel good to get that 1-0, to get the win to start the year. You got another game at home, and you can take some momentum into that Canadian road trip.
Yeah, this was step one, and I think this is how they were going to have to win this game on opening night. And that's why 2-1 seemed like a very believable scoreline to me. It probably wasn't going to be a flashy opening night. It wasn't going to be a highlight reel goal that got it done. It was going to be a tight game. You were going to have to do a good bit of defending against a Blue Jackets team that does have some upside. I mean, we saw Kirill Marchenko took 8 shots on UC Saros in this game. I think almost all of them were really good scoring chances. You knew you were going to have to survive that. You knew you were going to have to get great goaltending. You hoped that UC Saros wouldn't have to make as many saves as he did. He ended up with 37 saves.
37.
Which is a big number, but that's what UC Saros is here for. And I love the way Philip Forsberg said it in his press conference after the game. He just goes, that's why UC is our guy. That's why Saros is here. That's why, Phil said, that's why he's nobody else's. And look, last year was so bad for Saros, and I maintain that it was mostly because of poor play in front of him. And by the time you get to the final 3 months of the year, everybody's brain was mush on the team. And
right,
you throw everything out at that point. And they made some tweaks with the defensive zone coverage in order to help Saros see pucks better. And I'm looking forward to after practice today talking to him in more detail about his performance, because it felt like the shooting lanes were much clearer for him to see the shots, and the Preds were still blocking shots. It's not like they're not blocking shots, but the little tweaks they made in D-zone coverage, I think, worked well and accomplished the goal and allow Saros to make every save he needed to in that game. And the one goal that got in on him was it's an outlier goal. It was a really nice goal by the Blue Jackets, but it's a double deflection on a shot that Philip Forsberg blocked, frisbeed up in the air, then a one-hand tip by Dmitry Voronkov. And it was a beautiful goal, but it was an unlikely goal at half speed on a great play that was tipped perfectly.
Yeah, we just saw they replayed it on the NHL Network here in studio, and there really wasn't much that UC Saros could have done to stop that one. And 37 saves, correct me if I'm wrong, UC Saros doesn't seem like a guy who is listening to any outside noise, and he's not going to tell you that this was a statement for him, but like it feels like a statement game one to just go out there and shut the team down, 37 saves, and I mean, obviously you can't control how many shots get put on you, but he went out there and he shut down Columbus to get that win, and maybe shuts up some of the people who say, oh, they should have traded him, or they shouldn't have extended him. He looked pretty good last night.
Yeah, I imagine he hears a little bit of the noise, and I don't think it affects him too much because he's so composed. But I think it matters to him to get right after last season and prove that he is still what he thinks he should be and what he's always been, which is a top five, top 10 goalie in the NHL. And the way last year went, and it goes back to opening night, he didn't play. He took a minor injury in the preseason finale last year, didn't practice that week. Scott Wedgwood has to play on opening night. First time in 15 years that the opening night goalie hadn't been Pecorine or Juuse Saros, and the Preds lose that game. They lose a close game to a good team that they played well in, and then all of a sudden the season felt like it was over 2 weeks later. So I think Juuse Saros is going to have to be the Preds' best player all year. That may go without saying, but he was their best player and the number one star on opening night.
37 saves in the opener. Columbus gets the one goal. They did almost score another one in the second. And in a game that's that tight, and I heard you on the post game yesterday talking about how Columbus, they were the aggressor in that second period. And they got that goal, looked like it was going to put them up 2-1, and that could be a backbreaker at that point in the game. Great job by the Preds video crew to get the goaltender interference and make sure it stayed 1-1.
Yeah, that was a pretty easy one. When there's contact and both the goalie and the skater are in the crease, unless they change the rule and don't tell anybody, which does happen sometimes in the NHL. That one was a pretty easy overturn, I think. And Saros was affected by the contact with his blocker from Matt Olivier, former Pred. So that was a good challenge. But yeah, that was with 17 seconds left in the second period.
Right.
Would have made it 2-1 Blue Jackets. Preds never trailed in this game. They led 1-0. They led 2-1. And they won 2-1 to start the season. But that second period, they really deserved to come out of that period down at least one, if not two, with how much they defended, how many chances the Blue Jackets got along the way, and how little the Preds generated. And to go into the third period tied, especially with two big things at the end of the second. Look, they got through the second tied, which was a win in and of itself. But in the final 3 minutes, they had an exceptional penalty kill on the Blue Jackets' only power play of the game. Like, exceptional PK, with their best penalty killer, Michael McCarron, being the guy in the box. Then after that, at even strength, you get the momentum from the one challenge. And then the third period, you draw a penalty early, you get the go-ahead power play goal, and all of a sudden, you have the puck the entire period.
Right.
Even with a lead, it was unbelievable, that third period. So, I mean, look, no one expects anybody to dominate anybody on opening night. You definitely wouldn't expect the Preds, after finishing third to last in the league last season,
yeah,
to dominate anybody on opening night. The Blue Jackets are a good team. They missed the playoffs by 2 points last year. So you weren't going to dominate the entire game, but that third period was putting the foot down in a great way. That is a way that you almost never see NHL teams close out wins. So that was a good sign.
Yeah, I forget who, it might have been Tyson Jost with you on the post-game show, said that that was a game that you feel when you're heading down the stretch and in a playoff race. You usually don't get that on opening night. The Predators were able to get a gritty win last night in the opener, 2-1. And again, you mentioned on the video review, like, if they changed the rule. All sports video review is just too inconsistent. So I'm glad they got that one right for the Preds, because it does feel like usually the things that you are sure about are the ones that end up going the other way. Last night, did you watch, you were at Bridgestone, did you see the ending of the Phillies-Dodgers game?
I saw it was a walk-off. I heard Tapper back to the pitcher, he threw it away.
So two right? outs, bases loaded. For some reason, he went home and overthrew the catcher.
Oh,
and
no.
I don't know if it would have mattered. They didn't bring the ball back and tag the plate. But on replay, it doesn't look like the runner touched home plate, too. So I'm like, where's the replay review when you need it there? The Dodgers moved on. Quick tangent, just based on replay review.
Yeah, you can catch me up on everything else in the sports world last night on air for everybody here.
Right.
And we'll just call it the update, because I didn't see anything other than the Preds game.
Well, I was out calling the Metro game of the week out at Hillsborough High School, so I had to catch up on Preds after knowing you were coming on this morning. And I barely even remembered that there was an NFL game last night, too, with the Giants upsetting the Eagles on Thursday Night Football. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have any Preds questions, comments, or anything else for Max Herz, let us know. 615-737-1025. You can text or call. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Max is with us for the full first hour of the show, talking all things Predators after they got the win last night in their season opener, 2-1 over Columbus. The power play, 0-3 to start the day yesterday, but they got the big goal late. We'll talk about it coming up next. Ryan O'Reilly with the goal. Michael Bunting scored. We'll continue to recap the Preds win last night. Coming up next, we are off and rolling on this Friday morning. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. We're getting this going before Connor Newt even gets in. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday morning. And we are talking Preds for the full first hours. We've got Max with us. Preds get the 2-1 win over the Columbus Blue Jackets last night to start off their season 1-0. UC Saros with 37 saves. We went through his big night. But the Preds did get a couple of goals. They needed one late to get this win on the power play. And Max, early in the season, you don't expect the power play to just be lighting the lamp every single time, but 0-3 to start the day, but they got the one that was important. And man, what a goal from Ryan O'Reilly, the little backhand at the top shelf over the glove of the goalie.
I will keep my expectations high, actually, Jake. I expect the Preds power play to score every time.
Every time, 100%.
Every time. I was pretty disappointed with the early power play efforts in this game, and the second period was so lopsided in the Blue Jackets' favor. Then all of a sudden, the Preds draw two penalties and are on the power play for over 3.5 minutes, had 21 seconds of 5-on-3 time, got a look or two out of it, a quickie 5-on-3 with Ryan O'Reilly getting a redirect in tight, but it wasn't their best power play scoring chance. And going into the third period, like you said, they're 0-3, they've had chances. You know, a special teams play could probably win this game the way it's gone at 5-on-5 at that point. And Ryan O'Reilly makes the play. It was on the first shift of the power play. It was pretty early in the power play, 35 seconds into it. And they gave Ryan O'Reilly a ton of soft ice. I was shocked how much room they gave him. But that's the Steven Stamkos factor. Everybody's cheating Stamkos' way toward the left circle. O'Reilly's working the right goal line, his usual spot. He comes out in front, fakes on the forehand. Eric Goodbranson, former Pred, I don't know what he was doing. He was even going to let O'Reilly take the forehand shot, but O'Reilly played it safe, cut back to the backhand, top shelf over Greaves. Really nice goal for O'Reilly, and at the time, it felt like it could be enough, and it was enough, and honestly, the Preds should have added two more to even strength the rest of the period. That game could have ended 4-1 pretty easily, even without an empty netter.
Yeah, I mean, that was a spark that this team felt like it needed. You talked about the second period where they easily could have been down a goal or two heading into the third. They get that goal. It kind of flipped the momentum, and the Preds were able to hold on for the 2-1 win. Their early goal, Michael Bunting with the score. And that third line, I think you look at it, and it could end up being a real X factor for this team with Bunting and Holla and Marchessault. Like, you got two really talented guys on the wings, and we talked about it before the show. Eric Holla last night was 13 of 14 on the draw. They've since corrected it to 12 of 14.
Yeah, these, I guess people bet on this crap, which is insane to me. Don't bet on hockey. Like, it's insane. But they go back and they relook at everything from the game. Like, are people betting on faceoffs?
Right.
I don't know,
it's but like I've seen bets on like shots on goal, which I guess is at least something. But faceoffs, really?
I mean, it might just be a stat correction for stat's sake. But Holla was 13-1 on faceoffs at the end of the game last night. He's now 12-2. 13-1 would have been his best face-off percentage game ever in a game where he took double-digit face-offs. But point stands. An amazing game for him. I think Holla has been an amazing fit so far in camp. He and Marchessault click really well. They were teammates in Las Vegas the first 2 years of the Golden Knights, and they're just a good match. They're friends off the ice, too. Their lockers are next to each other. They're kind of on the same wavelength, and Bunting is the perfect third for them because he's just as much of a talker as they are, and all three guys are really passionate, and the thing you need is for Marchessault to not be taking shifts off. And on that line, I don't think Marchessault can get away with taking a shift off because Bunting will tell him if he's taking a shift off. And also, I just don't think on that line, even if their mouths were all taped shut, I don't think you'd want to take a shift off with how those guys have been playing. And whenever that line combination came into Andrew Brunette's head in the summer, that was an important moment because that was not a line we were expecting to see coming into camp, and they were together all of preseason. They're together game one. They're starting periods. They're coming out of TV timeouts. They're in the D zone. Hall is doing his switch face-offs. He flips a stick over and takes the draw right-handed, which is absolutely crazy to me. And they have the puck a lot. And the first goal was just from those guys pushing the puck ahead. Good zone entry. Puck bouncing around a little bit. Bunting gets a clean one-timer off a shot block and absolutely nails it for his first goal of the season for anybody. His first goal as a dad in his first game as a dad. And he carried his 13-day-old son on the gold carpet. And we had a couple people comment, it looked like he was holding his baby like a catfish.
Yes,
actually.
I saw somebody said, I thought he was holding a catfish.
he kind of just sped walked through with his son, handed his son to his wife, and then went back and signed some autographs. But he said on the radio after the game that he saw everybody else was bringing their kids out, and he was like, you know what? Baby boy Bo Bunting's got to get out there.
13 days old is crazy. Yeah. And you kind of should have expected that he was going to be able to score in that game. You know, first game as a dad, and that was a big one. Got the scoring started for Nashville. And, man, I seeing that video of him walking with his kid, like, that is a baby. Like, small kid. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do heading into your first game.
Yeah, well, you got to show off the new kid, first time dad. But, the Preds are sprouting sons all over the place. Cole Smith had his baby boy, who is 4 months old, I believe, out there. Michael McCarron actually had a son even more recently than Bunting did, but he had his one-year-old daughter out there on the carpet. The baby was present, but not on
just
the carpet.
Just didn't walk down the carpet.
And Brady Shea is expecting a baby boy later this month, so... Yeah, Preds sons are happening.
We haven't talked about the defense yet. The defensemen, you mentioned earlier how there had been a lot of struggles last year, and that led to some of the issues for UC Soros as well. How did you think that group played with Roman Josi back healthy and on the ice? You didn't get to see Nick Hague out there, obviously, but Nick Perbix and some of the other additions in that group.
Yeah, I think they played well enough to win. I thought Perbix was the Preds' best defenseman last night in his Preds' debut, and his game is so simple that, like, you almost can't even envision him making a mistake, and obviously it will happen at some point, but he is such a steady hand, and I honestly don't understand why he isn't valued a little bit higher around the league. Preds got him for 2 years at $2.25 million a year.
Wow.
And he said he had double-digit teams interested in him. Which, that part of it, I think is right. I think there should have been a higher bidding war for him, especially with the cap going up in the future. Like, he played with Victor Hedman on the Lightning, and you never heard his name in a good way.
Right. I mean, that's a position. We talk about it all the time with the tackles for the Titans. It's like, if we're not noticing you, that's a good thing. Like, that's what you want in that position.
Yeah, and Perbix played 20 minutes last night. He blocked 4 shots. And, I mean, it's 20 minutes. He doesn't play any power play time. So if you take out the power play time, he was only a minute and a half behind Roman Josi and Brady Shea for highest time on ice for a defenseman. And he and Brady Shea were on the ice for the final minute and a half, 2 minutes of the game. And with about 5 minutes left before the Blue Jackets pulled the goalie, Perbix stopped a wraparound that I think probably would have gone in. With UC Soros a little bit late getting on the post.
Yeah.
And that I think was the biggest defensive play by a skater all game for the Preds. So I was impressed with Perbix. It's amazing how quickly we fall back into like Roman Josi doing exceptional things is just normal. But boy, did the Preds miss him. My God. And I thought him and Adam Willsby were solid together. I think Willsby got creative a couple of times. Outside of that, he kept it pretty simple. And I think you'll see him get a little bit more creative as things goes on and he gets used to playing with Yossi, because both those guys want to join the rush. They both want to blow the zone. They both want to be up there with the forwards. And I think Willsby knows he's got to be a little careful and he's got to let Yossi have first dibs on that a lot of the time. But in the O zone, we did see Willsby leading the charge on offense at times, and he was solid defensively in the way he needed to be, and he doesn't have a ton of experience. That was his 24th NHL game, and both guys coming off injuries. So, I think everybody did what they needed to do, and the third pair, Spencer Stastny and Justin Barron, I think had a fine game. I don't think they did too much in either direction, which is really all you can ask for them, and Barron drew the penalty that the game-winning goal
right.
came on.
And good to see Spencer Stastny out there after he missed a ton of time last year and with the team right from the jump this season. Preds get the win 2-1 over the Columbus Blue Jackets to start their season. They are 1-0. One more home game this weekend, tomorrow against Utah, before hitting the road for four games in Canada over a week.
You got to get the team name in. They're not just Utah anymore.
The Utah Mammoth. The Mammoth. For now. We found out last week that they're getting sued, or they're suing Mammoth Hockey or whatever it is. But they will be the Utah Mammoth when they come into Smashville tomorrow night for a Saturday in Smashville, game two of the season. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get to some of your texts for Max. Also, the rookie, Brady Martin, made his debut last night. We'll talk about his performance as well. And then we'll preview the upcoming week for the Predators to wrap up the hour with Max Hurst. Still 30 minutes left to go. Looking for a good spot to watch NFL games on Sunday? Then you should come to Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of the 29-degree beer, and join 102.5 The Game for the pregame show before the Titans take on the Raiders. The pregame show is brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Old National Bank. Jake Lyman, Max Hurst from Preds Radio, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. This Sunday, the NFL game of the week is the Cowboys and the Panthers at noon on Sports Talk 830. NFL game of the week is presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Massaro in 12 South. Jake Lyman, Max Hurst from Preds Radio, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday. We got Max till 10 o'clock talking Preds after they were able to get the win last night to start their season. 2-1 over Columbus. Preds are 1-0. Which feels good after the 0-5 start last year, taking on the Utah Mammoth tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. Max, we have not talked about the big storyline heading into the game. Brady Martin, fifth overall pick back in July for the Preds, makes the roster. Not only makes the roster, but he's your top line center to start off his NHL career. I don't know if it was a flashy debut for Brady Martin, which I don't know if you expected, but definitely looked like he held his own out there.
Yeah, I think it was good. He didn't end up playing a ton in the second and the third. He played a lot in the first period. He played 7 shifts in the first, but then only 4 shifts in the second, 3 shifts in the third. He ended up with 12 minutes and 44 seconds of ice time, and they ended up putting Steven Stamkos in his spot with Ryan O'Reilly and Philip Forsberg a lot in the third period, and that's fine. That's fine. You knew that Martin was going to get his feet wet. He didn't make any mistakes, which I think is the biggest positive.
Right.
But he had his moments. He was involved. He was well-positioned. And he actually had a couple really close scoring chances where he was on the back door looking for redirects. And I think he was a lot closer than people realized to that first NHL goal on 2 instances.
I think that would have brought the house down at Bridgestone if he scored in his NHL debut. And, you know, he'll have another chance tomorrow. And, again, the big question is the 9 games before he would have to get sent back to juniors. I said it yesterday, Max, and, you know, you obviously are much more in tune with this than I am, of when they put him on the top line in between Forsberg and O'Reilly, it feels like that's a long-term plan for Brady Martin, for him to not just be here for 9 games. But obviously, you might have more insight on that than I would.
Yeah, I would temper any thought of anything more than 9, and I would have said that going into yesterday, too. But it's a game-by-game evaluation. I think based on how he played last night, 9 is probably the right number. And if he really steps up and improves, then they'll think about it. But it really is game by game. Look, I think there was a potential performance last night from Martin where he doesn't play on Saturday. That didn't happen, and he is going to play again on Saturday, barring a big surprise. But look, if he wasn't good or he was totally out of place in a way that he wasn't in the preseason, I think it would have been a surprise to the coaching staff. But I think they would have acted upon it. It really is a true game-by-game evaluation. I think anything is possible. But I think as of now, he probably would go back to the Sioux at some point and back to juniors. But yesterday was such a great day, and he's got that out of his system now. I don't think there were really nerves based on the way he carries himself. But he had a massive crew of family and friends there. Around 30 people drove down from Ontario, half of them from the farm, from Elmira, half of them from the Sioux, where he plays juniors on the Michigan Upper Peninsula border, which is Terry Crisp's old stomping grounds, where he coached in the 80s. And they just took over. I saw the crew in the Preds team store, right, as they were getting ready to close up and reopen.
Buying out
the game.
All the 44 jerseys?
It was like supermarket sweep in there. They were going nuts. So it was really cool. He has three siblings. His parents were here. His girlfriend was here. Some of his coaches and a ton of friends. And it was, I mean, it was storybook. I hope they had a great time. I assume they're all sticking around for Saturday. And people don't realize that a large portion of the Preds crowd, especially on weekend games, is just random Canadians who have come in.
Oh, for sure.
And these,
because they love Nashville.
Yeah. So this is now like basically that type of group, except they're related to the Top Line Center. So it's they'll fit in well.
I love it. I love it. And I'm sure they'll be bringing the noise on Saturday again when the Preds take on Utah. If Brady Martin is sent back to juniors, is it a situation where Ryan O'Reilly shifts back to center and maybe you have Luke Evangelista take that other wing? Or how do they kind of maneuver that lineup if you do send Brady Martin back after those nine games?
Yeah, I think O'Reilly would just go back to center, which is his spot. I mean, he's still one of the best centers in the league.
Right.
Maybe the best two-way center in the league still, with Barkov injured for the year. Like, you can make the argument that O'Reilly's up there. He's won the Selkie. So I think that would be easy. And as soon as Evangelista's visa is processed,
right,
which you have no control over, as soon as that's processed, he's playing. He would have played last night if the visa was ready to go. But this is what happens when you miss time. You put things up to chance, and he's healthy. He's looked good on the ice with the team. He's been practicing with the team. But he's legally not allowed to play yet,
right?
With his work visa, because he's not an American citizen. So when Evangelista is eligible to play, he will play immediately. I think if that comes in the next 24 hours, he would probably go in for Joachim Kimmel, and they'd keep Martin in. But once Matt Wood is healthy, and he did skate with the team yesterday morning, I think Wood has done enough to earn a spot too. So they've got four guys fighting for those two spots. I think Evangelista is a guarantee once he's back. Then you've got one spot for Wood, Martin, and Kimmel. And I think based on the way he looked in the first week of camp, I think they would like that to be Wood's spot to earn long term. And that's part of the reason why I think Martin is likely to not stay beyond nine.
It makes sense. 2503, speaking of Joachim Kimmel, wanted you to grade the rookies. So we talked about Brady Martin. How do you think Joachim Kimmel played yesterday?
B. Yeah. Nothing amazing, but no mistakes either, which is all you can ask for.
Right. For the young guys, that's usually what you're looking for, right? Is just don't hurt the team. We'd love if you could do extraordinary things to help the team, but if you don't hurt the team, that's always a good start.
Yeah, he was involved offensively, which is what you want from him. He was responsible in all three zones, and you got to remember, it's his third NHL game. His third NHL game. He played two last year, back-to-back games in February right before the Four Nations break, and that was flying by the seat of his pants. Going to Chicago for his debut on short notice, and then the next day coming back home, and as soon as he had debuted, he was back to Milwaukee when the NHL took their break.
Right.
He knew he was only going to get those two, and we thought maybe in April he'd get another, and he didn't. And, I mean, it's his third NHL game. So, all right, who else do I need to grade?
He just said Martin and Kimmel.
Just Martin and Kimmel.
But if you have anybody else in mind.
I think everybody gets a B.
B's across the board.
Yeah, Martin and Kimmel get B's. I could be a little more critical if I wanted to, but I think they did exactly what you hoped, right down the middle.
Right.
And I think Will's B gets a B as well as Yossi's partner. He's right. A rookie. I was a little disappointed Ozzie Weisblatt didn't play, but Tyson Jost was good on that fourth line, so I understand why they made that decision, but I would like to see Weisblatt play.
Do you think that's something they'll shuffle on that fourth line as we move forward here, or is that something that, you know, they're going to stick with Jost until they feel like they need to make a change?
I don't know. I was surprised that Weisblatt did not play since he made the team and earned his spot, but I think going into tomorrow, they'll probably stick with what they got.
Right.
Because Jost is a trustworthy veteran, and I think that's why he earned the spot. But Weisblatt is here for a reason. So I think he'll be given his opportunity at some point, for sure.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Devin and Dixon had some comments on Ryan O'Reilly's goal. Let's just say he called it sexy. That's what we're going to go with. It was. I watched both angles that the Preds posted on Twitter last night, and I was like, man, that's not just a game-winning goal. That was a really, really impressive game-winning goal from Ryan O'Reilly last night.
Yeah. Nashville and the Preds are so lucky to have Ryan O'Reilly here at what is, I mean, maybe his last stop in his career. He's under contract for this year and next year on the four-year deal he signed with the Preds in the summer of 2023. I mean, what a guy. Like, who any team would want this guy. And that's what happened at the trade deadline last year. And Barry Trotz said, no, we're keeping him. We got two more years of this, and we need him. So he does everything. He does absolutely everything in the game. He does it all well. He takes it all personally, and he works hard at it. And he's a champion and one of the most beloved players in the league for a reason.
Yeah, we can talk about Barry Trotz's comments when he first took over the job of serial winners. And Ryan O'Reilly certainly fits that category for the Nashville Predators. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have any more questions for Max Herz, make sure to get those in on our phone or text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circa Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football games. It's a doubleheader with the Bills and Falcons and the Bears and Commanders. Coming up next, it is a busy week for the Predators. You get into the regular season and you don't stop. You got a game on Saturday and then a Canadian trip next week. We'll preview all of it with Max coming up next. Jake Lyman, Max Herz from Preds Radio, Parker Kelly here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Max Herz from Preds Radio, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday. Last segment with Max, as again, the Preds are 1-0, 2-1 win over the Columbus Blue Jackets last night, a Saturday in Smashville tomorrow. Preds taking on the Utah Mammoth. Max, before we preview the upcoming week, I know you had a stat from last night you wanted to get in here that you didn't get a chance to say on the postgame show yesterday.
Yeah, there's a lot going on the postgame show, and it's the first game of the year, and everybody's excited.
Right.
And sometimes I forget to say things that I mean to say, so I'm going to say one of those things right now. Philip Forsberg had the primary assist on Ryan O'Reilly's game-winning goal. He is now, Philip Forsberg is, just the fifth player in NHL history to record a point in 10 or more consecutive season openers.
Wow.
The NHL record is 11. So if he gets a point on opening night next year, he will be tied for the NHL record with Vinny LeCavalier and Victor Kozlov. Right now, he is tied for third with the great Jaromir Jagr.
Wow.
And Sergei Zubov.
That's amazing. To do it a decade straight, that's impressive from Phil.
Yeah, and I mean, the health is a part of it, too. Like, they're not counting a player's first appearance of the season. It's all opening night.
Right. So, shows the longevity of Philip Forsberg, the ability to be available to start the season every single year, and he immediately produces. I love it. So I guess mark your calendars for next year. We'll see if Philip Forsberg can tie the record.
It's also going to be an earlier opener next year, potentially even at the end of September. They're cutting the preseason in half. So, don't book your fall break yet next year.
Yes, and going up to 84 games next year, right? Is that the case?
I think so. Yeah. Who knows, but that's what it sounds like. I mean, it's anything's better than extra preseason games, so Yeah.
That is a good
point. I'm all for it. They got to fix the schedule distribution. This year, the Preds go to Edmonton twice, furthest away team. They go to St. Louis twice, closest team. They go to Dallas once, second closest team. They don't go to Pittsburgh at all.
Wow.
Because they only play the Penguins in Sweden. Yet they go to Edmonton twice. So, yeah, they got to – Preds got to get in the East.
Disappointing for you not being able to go to Pittsburgh this year, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, it'll be fun. Predators and Penguins are also both undefeated, so
there you go.
We'll see if it can be a battle of undefeateds in Stockholm in November. And that would be funny.
The Penguins did their best Predators impression with those new jerseys last night, so just make sure they don't wear the yellow at the same time.
Yeah, and if you don't bring the right jerseys to Sweden, the only jerseys they have there are also gold.
That is true.
For the Trekronor.
Sweden, they don't have many options for you other than that. Preds back at home tomorrow against the Utah Mammoth, Max. It's an important game. Utah definitely not at the top of the league in terms of talent and expectations this year. Chance for the Preds to grab a couple more points before you head on this week-long road trip up in Canada. And it feels important to get a win on a Saturday night in front of your home crowd. Should be a rockin' Bridgestone Arena tomorrow night.
Yeah, man, 2-0 would be amazing. With the division team coming in, a team that has given the Preds fits in Arizona and as the Utah Hockey Club last year. Look, for these guys, it's all about defending Clayton Keller, Nick Schmaltz, and Dylan Gunther, their top-end forwards. Other than that, this is a manageable team. They do have J.J. Paterka now from the Sabres, who I've always liked, and Logan Cooley did not have a good showing last night in their opener. He was 0-for-13 on faceoffs, Logan Cooley, in the Mammoths' first game against the Avs. Avalanche beat them 2-1 in Denver last night. That was Utah's season opener. So you got to capitalize on your momentum at home, and you know that the Mammoth are going to be bouncing back pretty hard from that game. So I think it's a really intriguing matchup. But yeah, the Preds need to hold serve at home. They need to ride their crowd, and they need to do a lot of the good things that they did in the third period last night again.
Preds get the early season road trip started in Canada. They'll play Monday afternoon against Ottawa on Columbus Day. So some daytime hockey on Monday, play Toronto Tuesday, and then finish up the road trip Montreal and Winnipeg heading towards the weekend. I heard Adam Vingan say on DVD yesterday, and I couldn't believe this, just trying to do the math in my head, that after the 0-5 start last year, the Preds were already 8 points back of a playoff spot. So it does feel like, I know it's an 82-game season, and there's going to be a whole lot of hockey to play no matter what happens on this road trip, but it does feel like an opportunity to take an early step forward, and we're going to have a better idea of what this Preds team is when they come back from that road trip next week.
Yeah, 4 games in 6 days, it can be a challenge. I think a split of that road trip would be an exceptional result, especially if you start 2-0 at home. Look, if you start 2-0 at home, that road trip all of a sudden becomes a chance to really get out ahead of things.
Playing with house money at that point, kind of. I mean, you're 2-0, and it's like, hey, as long as if we could go split this road trip, and let's say we can get 5 points or 4 or 5 points, you feel pretty good about what you're coming back from if you can get out of there with 2 wins, a win, and an overtime loss, and add some points to that total in the early going. Couple of questions on the text line. 6215 asks, was there ever an explanation on why Philip Forsberg doesn't have the A this year?
No, that was something we actually just found out yesterday. So no.
So no explanation.
I do not have an answer. No.
It was Stamkos and
O'Reilly
who have the A's.
I don't mind. I mean, you got two winning captains.
Right. Like it feels like it has less to do with Forsberg and more to do with the guys that you have elsewhere.
Yeah, and I mean the A is symbolic, but the real utility of the A is supposed to be the guys with the letters are the ones who are supposed to be allowed to talk to the refs. They don't really enforce it that way anymore. Like, any veteran can go up to a ref anytime.
Right.
So, and look, Forsberg is a leader in the room. He absolutely is. So,
one of the more interesting phone numbers I've seen on the text line, 0000 is the last four. Why did Zach LaRue get sent back to Milwaukee?
Andrew Brunette said it was mostly because he was hurt. during training camp. He took like a weird injury. It wasn't like an injury that required any treatment, just an injury that required rest in a practice. And they wanted to make sure he has time to get going. Like, it's almost like a rehab stint, which doesn't really happen in the NHL, but that's what I would liken it to. And to me, the competition was Weisblatt versus LaRue for that fourth line right wing. And it looked to me like Weisblatt won it. LaRue could go to the minors without going through waivers, so he was safe. Weisblatt would require waivers, and you never know if he'd get claimed, but that also plays a factor in the decision. And then neither of them plays on opening night, and Tyson Jost goes instead, right. So what do I know? But LaRue will be back.
Okay. And we did talk about that last week when they hadn't made the decision yet, but it felt like it was trending that way. Again, the idea of having to send Weisblatt through waivers, it's a big factor. I mean, because you run the risk of losing him. With LaRue, you can send him down, let him get some reps down in Milwaukee, and then come back up when he's ready. Preds are 1-0 on the season. They are with a 2-1 win over Columbus last night. Again, another game in Smashville tomorrow night against the Utah Mammoth. Preds trying to get to 2-0 before they head on the road for a 4-game trip up in Canada. You can listen in tomorrow with Max Herz on the pregame coverage right here on 102.5 The Game. So excited for that. Max, always appreciate you coming by, and we'll do it again next week. You'll be in Canada, though.
I'll be in Winnipeg.
Maybe we won't do it again next week.
No, we
Zoom?
I'd like to.
Okay, let's do it. We'll get you live
every Friday from
Canada. Every Friday, 9 to 10, Max Herz is with us on the program. Preds with a big week upcoming. And again, tomorrow night, right here in Nashville at Bridgestone Arena. Make sure you go out or you can listen right here on 102.5 The Game. We'll take a break. When we come back, Connor Newt going to join us. We'll talk some football on the other side. Titans heading to Las Vegas to take on the Raiders this weekend. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.